This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What's up, Steve?
Hey.
Thank you, Kumru. That one got me. That's pretty good, Steve Risotto, filling in for Carter, who's on his honeymoon. Shout out Carter Chickering. He's in Jamaica. He's crushing it. I saw it on his story on Instagram. He's just chilling with the water. It's crystal clear. He's looking great. I have some jerk chicken, probably. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We got Warriors Rockets tonight. Joe, game four, potentially going up 3-1. They have an opportunity, the Warriors do, to go up 3-1 because they took care of business on Saturday. No Jimmy, no problem. And again, coverage starts at 6 o'clock tonight with Warriors Live, 7 o'clock tip, and we got the postgame, all of it, right here on 95.7 The Game. Then we'll come back tomorrow to talk about it all, too.
Think about how you feel as a non-fan observer of Nuggets Clippers, series tied 2-2.
It's a great series, by the way.
Right?
Insanity, yeah.
You feel like that one's guaranteed to go seven.
It feels like it.
Right? That feels like
and
it, absolutely.
I think that was, most people saw that as the most even matchup heading into the playoffs. Like, oh, that's going to be the
and
best one.
Has played out as such.
And it has been, yeah.
Overtime in game one, the game winner just the other day. And then you look at Lakers-Timberwolves, whoever wins this Rocket matchup is going to face.
Yep.
3-1 feels like a completely different series.
Yep. And then if you watch the last two games, the Lakers, they're kicking themselves. They're
up 10 in the fourth.
They're up 10 in the fourth, both games too. They were going. And I know Luka had his flu game, if you will, and he did not play well on a Friday night, I should say. I was actually at the old ship watching the game by myself, and it was a lonely experience watching that one. It was a fun game, though, because Anthony Edwards didn't do anything in that fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, as he does, and as superstars do in the playoffs, they come alive when it matters most. And that's what Stephen Curry did on Saturday. That's what Anthony Edwards did yesterday in their win over the Lakers to go up 3-1 in that series. And I think a lot of people are looking back and saying, yeah, maybe we overrated the Lakers. Because you know what? We do that with names. But you still got to play defense. There's two sides of the ball, Joe.
Yes.
And that's what was noticeable to me on Saturday, too, with the Warriors. Because we know defense is going to be there for the Rockets. The big question for them is always
the offense.
It's the offense.
But think of how different those two series feel. 2-2 and 3-1. Monumental.
Huge.
Monumental. And that's why tonight is massive for the Warriors.
Yep.
To go up 3-1, it puts you in such a driver's seat. There's really no other avenue than tonight is a must win. You have to hold serve on home court.
I'm just going to ask the question right now. 888-957-9570. After Saturday's win, do you need Jimmy Buckets tonight to play if you want to win this game? Do you need Jimmy Butler? 888-957-9570. That's what I want to ask as we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco, because there's part of me that wants to say, of course, I want Jimmy Butler. Of course, I would feel much better about winning this and going up 3-1 in a situation like this. But I'm thinking from the perspective of the younger guys, too. The confidence that must be instilled in them. Like, even with Jonathan Kuminga, who got the start, I don't think it was his greatest game. Not by a long shot. I don't think he'll tell you that. It wasn't a very great performance for him. It was solid. But a guy like that, Moses Moody, who had been in the starting lineup all the time, he got kicked to the bench. I didn't hear him crying or complaining. Quentin Post, who I thought was great defensively. All those rebounds that he was able to grab. 12 in total for him. That was insane. Quentin Post led both teams in rebounds as a player. Şengün is on the other side and Steven Adams on the other side, and Quentin Post out rebounded both of them. That's incredible. So the confidence in all of those guys, Pajemski as well, who had some timely buckets, like carrying over into tonight's game, That's a huge plus for them because I do think you're going to get the Rockets' best swing. I don't know. I'm kind of is it crazy to say, Joe? I'm kind of leaning like holding Jimmy out the next couple days. So.
No, it's insane. Is it? He plays.
But if he's still like sore and he's still hurting.
You play him.
Even if he's hurting a little bit still,
you can Steph stop Curry asking the playoffs. That question.
You play him.
I mean, Steph Curry.
I'm just saying.
Steph Curry is nursing a thumb injury, a butt injury, and it looks as good as ever. When you're one of the top players in the league and you're making max money and your name is Jimmy Butler and you had the same exact injury in 2023 where you missed no time, yeah, you play if you can play.
Wait, you're saying they need him to win tonight?
No, I think he wants to play. I think he will play.
Okay.
I think it'll be a moot point regarding whether they need him or not. I think they won the one game without him. They got the house money. Now you bring him back and you step on their throats.
All right. Still questionable with a pelvic contusion again.
Sounds like Celebrini and team, the trainer, they're the ones who held him out. That's what it, like kind of reading between the lines of the Slater report and some of the people that were reporting on it pregame. He was working out. It was going to be a game time decision. Sounds like the Warriors were the ones that preemptively took him out.
That sounds like your 60 seconds of Celebrini was right there for Rick Celebrini, not Macklin, of course. Do we know if Macklin's going to win the Rookie of the Year, by the way?
We're probably not.
Just the motivation he needs.
I would say to this team and to Jimmy and the trainers, if you win tonight, you can go back to Houston. You can kill shot them in the second half of the Houston game, for lack of a better word, sorry. And then you get a little bit of time off and you can observe what happens with Timberwolves Lakers and breathe a little. And then Jimmy can rest after the series is over. That's the way I would be approaching this.
888-957-9570 is the number. Do you need Jimmy Butler tonight, Dub Nation? And what was your biggest takeaway from that win for you, like going forward in this series? Because for me, it was Quentin Post. I think for a lot of people, it might be Buddy Hield in his performance. I know a lot of people were questioning Buddy Hield, and you had to, because we haven't really had a Buddy Hield game in a win. We've had Buddy Hield games in losses. I think Buddy Hield's last best game was probably against the Houston Rockets, and it was a loss, and it was a regular season game.
3 weeks ago?
Exactly. Then it was on that Sunday night, right, at Chase Center, and it came in a loss. So, like, whenever we had Buddy games, it was like, well, we can't really talk about it. Oh, it was the Buddy Hield game. We say it tongue-in-cheek, and it was an L. No, this wasn't a win. You had Gary Payton stepping up. I mentioned Quentin Post. Draymond Green defensively was all-time and showed why he was a DPOY candidate. And I thought it was very, very good for Draymond Green. Take the high road. I know he was feeling some type of way about not winning the DPOY, but celebrating Evan Mobley when asked about it. He's like, hey, Evan's grown tremendously as a player. He was great. He deserves it.
For a second.
It was what?
He didn't deserve to win it this year. It's okay. That doesn't mean he didn't have a great year. He had a great year, but if you look at the last month or so of the season, he didn't do well against the other bigs. Now, those guys are talented. They outsize him height and weight wise, and he didn't finish the season the way that he needed to if he wanted to win the award, and that's okay. That doesn't take away from a great year from Draymond. He played more games than I anticipated. He played better offensively than I ever anticipated, and he was his vintage defensive self, except down the stretch when they needed to slow down some bigs. I thought that some of those bigs had his number. Karl Anthony Towns, Aaron Gordon. Like, I can go right down the list. Evan Mobley had a banner season. They had a banner season. Good for him. It's okay. It doesn't mean that Trey sucks. It doesn't mean that he didn't have a great year. All these things could be true all at once. And so, yeah, he did take the high road in that, but I also didn't think he deserved the year.
Well, you said the word right there. They had a great season. Draymond Green had a really elite couple months here since the Jimmy Butler acquisition. That's not enough to win the DPOY. Yeah, I think we get jaded.
Yeah. And I don't think he finished.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's defensively.
Correct.
And the way that I wanted
The old adage, not how you start, how you finish. No. When it comes to the award season, it's the entirety of the regular season.
Exactly.
It's all Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. You know, that's great. There's this whole first half of the season that the Cleveland Cavaliers dominated. The entire season, they dominated. They dominated those matchups against you, actually. Evan Mobley in particular.
The difference between right now, between the West, when you watch the playoffs, gosh, and then you watch the East, the level of intensity just drops. You can feel it off the screen.
I don't think anything's happening there that's out of the norm. I've actually been impressed.
Like Detroit.
With Detroit, and I thought they got hosed. That Josh Hart absolutely fouled. Who was that? Tim Hardaway in the corner? Like, come on, man. And poor Detroit. I get it. They're feeling some type of way about
it. That atmosphere was sweet.
It was awesome. You don't post about it on your social though, about the lack of a non-call. I thought that was kind of like, that's showing they're green. They'll know, but like you don't go outwardly and say it was a bad call and they post it in big font from your player saying it was a bad call. But they're going to be licking their wounds. That was a tough L for them. I don't believe in the Knicks at all, by the way, going forward. I don't. I thought with all those trades that they had in the offseason last year, bringing in Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, I thought they might have had something. I just don't think Jalen Brunson can be your best player and guy you lean on in closing minutes to win it for
he's
you.
He's on the floor with that ankle, calf. I don't even know what that was.
The foul baiting that he is doing. I know we like to get on James Harden and Luka. Jalen Brunson, oh my God, dude. Get up.
Yeah.
Stop.
But he's a little guy, and so for whatever reason, people find it endearing. And he plays for the New York team.
No, New York team.
I know.
I haven't done anything my entire life. Please. Steve Kerr, his thoughts on a big win without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's a big-time win. I mean, you could see we were out of sorts early. You know, with Jimmy out, we changed the starting lineup. We went to some combinations that we've barely played all year. And it took a while for us to find some rhythm. But I thought what kept us in the game was our defense. You know, they got up, I guess, 13 at the most. But, you know, these days, 13 doesn't feel like that big of a deficit. And I thought the key to the game was the way we closed the second quarter, you know, to pull within three and get some momentum. And we felt pretty good at halftime as a result.
No Jimmy, no problem.
It was 34-22 in the second quarter. Steve Kerr calls a timeout. And then, like, he's not happy. He's just not happy. No. Then they go trading baskets. At one point, it's 49-37 Rockets. They're up 12 with 2:24 to go.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, some way, after a couple of buddy buckets, a couple Steph plays, it's 49-46 at half. And I felt like the Warriors had all the momentum heading into the half after playing a really poor second quarter overall.
Well, a big play in that was the Steph block on Fred VanVleet, Feeds Buddy, as you talked about, the touchdown pass.
Yeah, it was a great play by Steph. And one of the better plays of the year from him.
Here's how it sounded. Tim Roy, 95.7 The Game.
VanVleet over to Jalen Green. He'll dribble, drive on Curry. Back out to VanVleet. Run off the line. Pajewski steps in. Shoots over Curry. Blocked by Curry. Curry with the ball. Baseball pass. Heel. Layup. Good! On the break.
Got Steph Curry with the block shot.
Steph Curry, the defender. 7-0 run for the Warriors.
He said baseball throw. More of a Shador Sanders throw, if you will. Right down the middle. Fifth round pick going to Cleveland Browns, by the way. Shador Sanders. Sanders, the slide of the season, of the offseason, I should say. We'll touch on it at some point today because there was a draft.
Because there's just not enough Shador content out there, huh?
Hey, you were real quick, you were thinking about it if you're the Niners. You were thinking about it in the face, like, you know?
Possibly.
There was a guy with a torn ACL in the seventh, and we just couldn't resist.
Who was that guy?
The Indiana quarterback.
Curtis Rourke. Yeah, the Indiana quarterback. You didn't even know who it was. Curtis Rourke. Not Mickey Rourke. Curtis Rourke. There you go. But they did go five. Their first five were on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to the 49ers draft at some point, I promise.
Actually love their draft.
Joe Shasky will have his grade. I know he's big on grades, so he's going to go his full Mel Kiper here. And there was a full Mel Kiper meltdown over the weekend that we also have to react to because it was crazy, to say the least. So we'll get into that. Also, there was an interview over the weekend with Bill Belichick on CBS this morning. Cringe doesn't even put into words. Like, that isn't even the word I'm looking at. There's something greater than cringe that took place with Bill Belichick in this interview and his girlfriend. Very odd. And we need to break it down, Joe, because I know you're all in on Billy B and the offseason that is Bill Belichick, now head coach over with North Carolina football. So definitely got to get into that at some point.
You better be careful.
We're talking Warriors. We're talking Rockets. We're going up 2-1, Stephen A. Don't worry. And we got Leroy in Oakland who wants to join the conversation because I think Leroy's feeling like I'm feeling. I'm considering sitting Jimmy tonight. I think we can win without him. Leroy, good morning. How are we feeling about that win, man?
Man, I'm feeling great. Good morning, guys. And I tried to hit you guys, I think it was on Thursday or Friday last week. And, you know, I was like, man, I hope they sit Jimmy Saturday because, you know, I want to see if the Warriors have learned to win without him. I wanted to see if Jimmy had infused enough in those young guys, enough toughness, enough oomph in those young guys to go, hey, you can do this, because I was watching the young guys when Jimmy was out there, and he just infuses this toughness and I can do anything in the young guys. So I was like, okay, Jimmy's going to be out Saturday. Let me see if these guys have picked up on some of Jimmy's, toughness. And boy, they really played well. I didn't expect them to get that game the way that they got it. So I was like, hey, if we have two games without Jimmy, and if we can get one, because I was expecting Curry to have a 35, 40-point game if they set Jimmy two games. I was expecting Curry to blow up on one of those games and for us to get one of those games. So I'm like, hey, now that we got the first one, definitely sit Jimmy. Let him rest. I think, Curry is feeling it now. I think Curry is starting to smell it now. You know, when you're a champion so many times, it's this point and thing where you start smelling it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Curry's going to let up. I don't care if they put two, three people on him. We've seen him do it before. He is the most spectacular player we have seen in, just 20, 30 years. And I think he's dialed in. So I don't think, no matter what Houston does, I think Curry's going to show that championship medal and just start doing what Chef does. And so Houston's in trouble.
You know,
Houston's got a problem. Thanks, Leroy.
I disagree with him. I think that you can't mess around, because if you lose tonight, it just changes the whole dynamic for the rest of the week and this team. And you just don't want to play with your food here.
Well, I'm actually protecting Jimmy Butler in this scenario, because maybe there is still some soreness. And the last thing I want to do is put a compromised Jimmy Butler out there tonight, Joe.
Like it's pain tolerance, okay. Not like you can, injure it further.
But even if it's pain tolerance, he's playing through something that's going to be bothering him that might hamper him just a little bit today. And you lose this game with Jimmy Butler, all of a sudden, that swings the momentum back to the Houston Rockets saying, okay, well, we just beat this team again with their best player. Like, their only win in this series was basically without Jimmy Butler in the game. So there is still the mental edge there for the Warriors that, hey, once we have Jimmy for all the game, we're 1-0 against them. We get him back today.
You have to go out and have to play. Like, I get the whole mental part of it, but to me, this is about, you have to go out and play and execute, and they need to win. To rely on, again, I'm not saying that they can't get these contributions, but 33 combined from Buddy and GP2, I don't know if I could bank on that without Jimmy again.
Well, I don't think that Pods is going to be that bad again. I don't think that Moses Moody is going to be that bad again.
Pods had one game, and now I know he's sick, so let's throw that away.
Exactly.
But it's not like he's a scorer at heart.
He's due, though. I think some of these players, these role players for the Warriors are due, and that's why I think tonight, if Jimmy does play...
You've got the role player contributions, though.
Again, well... Someone else step up. Like, that. Great. I didn't expect to get the Buddy Hield game and the Gary Payton game at the same time. I'm glad it worked out that way. But someone else is going to step up. That's what happens in these playoffs. Guys where you least expect it. Like, I think that's what was so impressive to me as well. And I am reacting to what I saw yesterday a little bit too, because on Saturday, I thought Steve Kerr had a coaching masterclass, and I thought J.J. Redick for the Lakers had a coaching disaster class, if you will. He played, and for those of you who just joined us who didn't watch the game, maybe you weren't up to it, I thought it was a great weekend of sports in general, whether it was the draft or there was NBA playoffs, all baseball's on fire. It was great watching of sports heading into May next week. This is a prime time of the year for me. But the Lakers and J.J. Redick played all of their starters, or I shouldn't say started, because I guess Dorian Finney-Smith didn't start technically. But basically, all their players in the second half played the entire second half.
Played the same five.
Same five.
Every minute.
For the entire second half. Didn't get a break at all. And it showed late in that game. It showed. The young guy of Anthony Edwards, who did get some rest along the way, he was fresher than Luka, than LeBron. LeBron was probably the freshest guy, and it's pretty sad that a 40-year-old has to be your best defensive player on that team, and that just goes to show that team is where it's at. But relax. I heard what you had, a little snide comment over there. Chill. But that's what showed up to me over the weekend. Coaching still matters, guys. I know the stars. In basketball, we like to think the coaches don't matter. It's just the stars, the stars, the stars. No, coaching matters. Especially in the scenario where we saw Jimmy Butler was out and Stephen Curry was there, and maybe Steve Kerr was buying Steph a few extra minutes in that fourth quarter, but he played 41 in total.
Well, he never starts the fourth quarter. I think that's a great wrinkle that they went with. They started him in that fourth quarter, took him out, put GP2 in, and then subbed him back in, and he got multiple timeouts because of television timeouts. Mm-hmm. And so really the real time, you know, sit down for Curry was probably closer to 10 or 15 minutes as opposed to the whatever 2 or 3 minutes that he ended up sitting on the bench. Look, they've done zones. They've done specific doubles. They've gone to a 2-3. They've gone to a 1-3-1. They've changed some of their offense. Seems to be a little more Steph bring the ball up the floor more than we're accustomed to. I mean, there was even a point where you saw Steph said to GP2, give me the damn ball.
Yeah.
As he's coming up. So they've done a lot of really good wrinkles. I like that with Jimmy Butler out of this game, the floor in the middle opened up and GP2 took clear advantage as opposed to being in that dunker spot, meaning baseline side. He had the ball in his hand at the top of the key and did that fake handoff to Steph Curry as he's coming off the action, and it just draws so much attention. And then boom, you saw three different layups in the late third quarter into the fourth quarter for GP2. It was brilliant.
Stephen Curry talked about it after the game on how unbelievable Gary Payton II was with his father also in attendance.
Gary was unbelievable. Taking advantage of the double team up top, getting in the paint, finish at the rim, the big three in the corner, and obviously what he does on defensive end. So, yo, he's been around too. He was part of the 22 championship team. He knows what it takes.
Let's not forget that. Gary Payton II is a champion still, and championships matter in series like this when you're going up against the only other team, the only player that has a championship on the opposing team is Fred VanVleet, who showed up in the first quarter. He was great. Only made one shot after that. One shot.
Yeah, I know.
One. But those ones, we felt like that was the Fred, like we were all waiting. You were talking about it. There's going to be a game where Fred VanVleet goes off. I think that was it. He had 17 points in total and wasn't very efficient.
I still think that the Rockets are a threat to the Warriors here, and that's why I don't want to mess around. I will play Jimmy. This is what you signed up for. This is why you got him.
They will be their most threatening, I think, tonight. This is the game.
This is why I need Jimmy.
Their backs are against the wall, and they're going to come out swinging. I just don't know if they have the offense to do it. Like, it's one thing to play desperate, but you have to contribute offensively to do that. I just don't know if they have the guys to do it. And what I saw from the Warriors defensively was ferocity on Saturday. They rose to the moment when it mattered most, and it's the Rockets who didn't score 100 points, not the Warriors. The Rockets didn't score 100 points on Saturday, and they had all their guys healthy in it after Jalen Green dropped 30 on their ass. What did he do? Didn't even hit double figures. He had 9 points.
Leroy brought up Steph Curry, and we're just, I mean, we
can't undersell it enough.
He's the best of all time. Look, Joe Montana, what makes Joe Montana Joe Montana is that he took over a team that had never won anything, all right? They never won anything, and he did it with a variety of playmakers. He did it with Dwight Clark and Freddie Solomon. He did it with Roger Craig in the backfield, and he became kind of a hybrid player. Then he did it with Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Brent Jones. He did it at the end of the 70s, even though they didn't win much. And then he did it at the end of the 80s, and he did it for so long. And when push came to shove, no matter who was around, when the chips were up against it in the middle of the table, he would always deliver, always deliver. He didn't fit the mold, Joe did, in terms of height, weight, speed requirements, although he was much faster than you gave him credit for. He had the guile, the smarts, and it just didn't look like other players in terms of style of play. That's what Steph has. And then you think about like the excellence, the pure excellence in terms of you expect it to happen and it happens and it still blows you away. That reminds me of Bonds. That reminds me of Ricky Henderson, where it's like, you know, he's going to steal here. Yep. You know it. You know it's coming.
Yep.
And he finds a way to still get it done. You know the home run's coming. You can't give him a pitch to hit. Nope. Boom, he hits the home run. That's Steph Curry. He had a shot on Dylan Brooks. We all saw it coming, yep. And you knew it was coming. He just bang. He just flicked it from the hip like he's Pistol Pete Maravich. He has the excellence and the longevity of Jerry Rice, which he's better in his 30s than he was in his 20s. How's that even possible? They kept charting how many feet he was running in the game, Joe. They're like, he's logged 2.5 miles of track today running around. He's more deadly without the ball than he is with the ball. What other player in the history of the NBA can you say that about?
Not many. If not at all.
Rip Hamilton?
Maybe.
And Rip wasn't even, I mean, no. And I'm not all
champion, but
Rip.
he was not the
he's
level.
Not this. No. Reggie Miller used to come off screens, yeah. And Reggie does broadcasting. Reggie was all time. He wasn't this. Yeah. I mean, this guy's all time all timers. He has every drop in every bucket that you're looking for of the greatest legends in Bay Area sports, he has them all combined into one. And unlike baseball, where you only get four at-bats, unlike football, where you only get maybe 20 or 30 throws in a game, this guy can have the ball on any possession in the game. He can walk up and say, give it to me. And he can either make a beautiful pass, because he made multiple unbelievable passes in this game. One to Buddy Hield on the corner, which was brilliant. Some unbelievable pick and roll plays. He makes defensive plays, which are completely underrated. No one talks about his defense. And then the shot making and the dexterity around the rim is unreal. The shot making from beyond the arc is unparalleled. The guy's the greatest Bay Area sports athlete of all time. And we have Willie Mays, and we have Barry Bonds, and we have Joe Montana, and we have Ricky Henderson, and we have Jerry Rice, and we have Ronnie Lott in terms of toughness. Steph checks all those boxes. He's the greatest Bay Area athlete ever. And I'm ready to just close the book, and I can't believe I'm saying this. You had Jerry, you had Joe, you had Willie, you've had Barry Bonds, Ricky Henderson. Pick who you want. He's the best, and I can't believe I'm saying it, and I'm watching in real time, and I don't even think he's close to done.
You said something that I thought was interesting in that, and it's well said, and 888-957-9570. We can always have the Steph conversation, and it feels like we take it for granted at times because of just how damn good he is, and I'm not taking it for granted, especially in these playoffs, because I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. There are only two players that we can all agree on are in the top 10 all-time of greatest in their sport that are in these playoffs. Only two. One of them's down 3-1 on the other side. It's LeBron James. He's 40 years old. They're probably cooked. And it's Stephen Curry. And you're up 2-1 now with a chance to go up 3-1. Why are we talking about it more that the Warriors have the best player still?
And he did
the best player in the playoffs.
And he won a must-win game without the second best player on the team.
See, I don't think people agree that he's still the best player in these playoffs. I think a lot of people go to, oh, Nikola Jokic, you know, he's MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, oh, Jason Tatum, well, Jason Tatum's there, but you know, Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, oh, Donovan Mitchell. I don't
know. Like, Curry's the best.
Stephen Curry.
He's the best.
Saturday showed you why. Do you think this is the best? Like, you said something there. Do you think this is the best version of Stephen Curry? You said that. You said he's playing better.
This is why I say that. Okay?
It's interesting to me because I don't think people would agree.
He may not be the spring chicken that he once was in terms of. You know, there's something about being young, right? There is. There is an element of, like, when you're in your athletic prime, like, he's not in his quote-unquote athletic prime. I think he's stronger now than he ever was.
The guns definitely are. You see those biceps there.
Right?
In the gym.
I think his finishing around the rim is spectacular. It's just spectacular. I think it's the element of his game no one talks about. Defensively, I don't think he's ever been smarter. He knows when you're trying to attack him and what your strength is, and he tries to take it away. He might not physically be able to block a bigger guy's shot, but you saw it in that Fred VanVleet play. How many times has he jumped passing lanes?
Yeah.
He's rebounding as well as he ever has, which has always been a key element of his game. He's just got a knack for the ball. Some guys just have that. Like, as great as Rodman was in terms of athleticism and hand-eye coordination, he also had just a knack for how to time things. You know, there's just an innate quality, an instinct, if you will. He's great at that. His court vision is unreal. How did he makes that play, and he knows Buddy Hield is flying down court and just turns and baseball passes it perfectly. Now, does he make the dumb turnover?
Of course.
Of course he does. Of course he
Only
does.
Only two, by the way, for Steph. Only two, and the turnover battle was in favor of who? The Golden State Warriors. Not a coincidence that they won. 14 turnovers for the Houston Rockets, 10 for the Warriors.
His understanding of leverage and his number one threat to the opponent is the three ball. He uses that to get steps on you, to get mid-range shots, to get layups. Like, his feel for misdirection is unreal. I'll tell you, I can sit here all day and do four straight hours on why Curry is, I think, the greatest Bay Area sports athlete of all time. I'm ready to just kind of, for right now, close the book. It's over. He's the man. And I trust me, I watched Jerry Rice's entire career. I watched Bonds' entire career. I watched Ricky Henderson. I saw the tail end of Joe. I went back and watched everything of Joe. He's the GOAT. This is the dude. I didn't watch Willie, so I'm not here to pretend like I saw Willie. This is the GOAT for me in my lifetime.
I think David in South City agrees with you. 888-957-9570. Let's go to David. David, good morning. You're on the Morning Roast. What you got, man?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I watched a game the other night. Warriors, it's been a while since they've been in the playoffs, but I think Curry is the best ever. He's the reason I started watching basketball again. He just makes the game exciting. That's my opinion. So there might be other players, but he's the best in my book. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, David, what about him makes you most excited? When you watch him, what is it about Stephen Curry? Okay, just,
you know,
just
but here's the other part.
Myself.
I referenced all of the prolific things he does on the floor. He's also like one of the greatest humans ever in terms of like, he's a great teammate.
You see a smile he had on the court, by the way, that Cheshire Cat kind of smile that he was. I think Nahegan put it in his profile picture. Everyone was posting it. It's just the smile that he looked like the Grinch, like the Jim Carrey Grinch, how he stole Christmas. Because he stole that game in game three and he stole it away from the Houston Rockets. Stole it from him.
He's an absolute killer. He's just, and he's gracious on and off the floor. He seems like a good family man. You know, in an era where it feels like everybody is in your face with all of the things that you shouldn't be doing, he does everything the right way. He's a great role model. He's a guy I reference at every baseball practice. Mm-hmm. Every single basketball and baseball practice with the youth. I go, do you think Curry half butts it during practice?
No.
No. Like, he practices faster than he does in practice so that the game time is like it's slowed down. Well, he's the greatest free throw shooter ever. We had Rick Barry here.
Right.
Who's one of the greatest free throw shooters the game has ever seen?
Ever seen. And that's practice.
Do you listen to Chris Mullin? Chris Mullin played on the freaking Dream Team.
With the greatest player in the history of the sport, Michael Jordan. The greatest player he ever played with.
He marvels at the stuff Steph Curry's doing.
Well, and again, I think it speaks to Chris Mullin too, because he was a shooter at heart and one of the best in the history of the NBA, which goes to show you even guys like that, Chris Mullin, who I think people say, Dream Team, one of the greatest shooters in the history of the sport, marvels at Steph Curry. Reggie Miller marvels at Ray Allen. We don't hear much from Ray because he's a soft-spoken guy. He's quiet. Marvels at what Stephen Curry can do and has done his entire career. And are we watching the best version of Stephen Curry? 888-957-9570. I think that's up for debate
now. Which is crazy because earlier this year, I was like, oh, man, it feels like he's lost a step.
We were talking about on these airwaves, not you or I, on these airwaves, talk about trading Stephen Curry at some point in the season. I know. Sounds crazy.
That's how down and bad we were.
I love you, Steiny. He's going to be out doing the broadcast of Guru today from the Agape Tournament, the charity golf tournament brought to you by Atco Pest Control from 10 to 2. Shout out those guys. We're going to be out there. We'll come and say hi. Shasky and I are golfing in a couple hours. And Shasky's got the fit. He's got the vest, too, just in case it gets a little chilly out there. He's ready.
And the other part of this is that as I watch Ant Edwards try to make a name for himself in the league, at LeBron, and
incredible.
The video of him just not backing down from LeBron, as great as LeBron has been, his number one foe is Steph Curry. And I actually think the two of them have elevated each other. Right. There's an argument to be made that like Magic and Larry elevated each other, right? Mm-hmm. And elevated the league as a whole and brought everyone up to their standards. To do it during the LeBron era, specifically running through him, and to do it with so many different teammates, whether it's Clay, Draymond, KD, you know, Jimmy Butler, Wiggins, like it's just the guy he's the greatest. He's the greatest ever. And I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're going to talk about once he's gone, because he's the best of all time.
Oh, we'll be talking about my guy, Brock Purdy, and how he's going to bring multiple titles to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Brock pales in comparison to Steph.
Just wait. Just give him an opportunity, all right? Mr. Irrelevant is anything but. Thank you, Sam. Let's go to our guy, Verducci, El Dorado Hills, wants to join in the conversation. What's up, Duce? How you doing, man?
Good, brother. Good. And I totally agree with you. You know, Spadoni and Shasky, I mean, with Curry. I mean, look, my wife is pregnant. We were watching this game on Saturday, about to go to a movie, and we're sitting there going nuts, sitting in the snack line, you know, seeing Curry do Curry things, and to see the joy that he plays with, how he elevates everyone else around him. And then as they cut to the fans, I mean, the fans that have seen him from the very start are still in awe after all these years later.
Whoa, Verducci, I got to cut you off there. The Golden State Warriors are playing. Yeah. They were playing in game three, first round, Western Conference, series tied 1-1, and you were going to the movies? And you were at the snack line? What are you doing?
Hey, you know what, baby? I had husband things. Oh. You know, my wife wanted to see a movie, so I had to take care of her.
What movie?
You know what? What was that?
What was the movie?
Sinners.
Okay, everyone said that's pretty good. All right, I'll back up.
It is, but you know what? I'm a connector, and I would say there's about three other guys with their wives in line, and we were all huddled around my little phone watching this on YouTube TV. So, you know what? We might have been mobile, baby, but we had still eyes on the game. And finally, tonight, you guys were talking about Jimmy Butler. He has to play. I mean, this is a must-win game. No questions asked. This is why you brought this man here to be Curry's Robin. You're paying the man $60 million. Curry's got a bum finger. You know, he's also playing with a tailbone injury. He's still out there. So, Jimmy, baby, I know you're going to step up. You're going to be there. And you know what? We're going to take it 3-1. This is a must-win because we can't go back 2-2. This is a game that we got to win. We got to win this in 5. Hope that Lakers wake up and take it to 7 so we can get our rest. And then you know what? This is where we're going to take it all, baby. It's our road to the chip. So you all have a good Monday, baby. Let's go.
There you go. It's Verducci in the EDH. 888-957-9570. You're more inclined or less inclined to play Jimmy Butler tonight, Dub Nation, after the win on Saturday without Jimmy Buckets? And are we watching the best version of Stephen Curry? I do think that's an interesting question because there's more baked into it than, you know, just the age number. I think we always go to the age like, well, he can't be at 37. He can't be. Well, we were talking about it with LeBron a couple of years ago. Is this the best version of LeBron we're seeing? And I do think baked into that equation is the mental game that we sleep on.
Exactly. Just,
and I think what Jimmy Butler has helped unlock, because it was always within Steph, and he didn't, and Steph didn't need anything from Jimmy Butler to validate who he is as a player. But there's things that even guys like Stephen Curry could garner from players like Jimmy Butler. And I do think that IQ on defense and being able to intercept things, that seeing plays steps ahead instead of, you know, just, you know, going through the motions on defense. A player like Jimmy Butler and what he's been able to do on this team as a two-way player has helped, I think, Stephen Curry tremendously going forward. And I think that was on display on Saturday with his defense, obviously, getting that block on Fred VanVleet.
The degree
steals,
of difficulty like, on some of these shots.
Yes.
I mean, it's
well,
just...
that's always Steph. Like, for me, the shot making. But I think defensively, first and foremost, too, I'm seeing Jimmy rub off on everyone in that regard.
There's a Mahomes-like quality where anything he throws up, you feel like is going to be a touchdown.
Right.
And it's the same thing with Steph. Anything he throws up, you're like, that's a good shot.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, they were saying, I think on the broadcast, Mark Jones is like, oh, he just pulled that up from half court. I don't know if that was a good shot. And then Jay Billis was like, no, that's a great shot. That's what we call a layup. Yeah. That's what we call exactly a layup for Steph. Let's go to Jay, who's in the Bay, wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. Jay, good morning. What you got, man?
Well, the only thing I'm saying is Miss J from the Bay. I say we should play Jimmy. We shouldn't grind Steph down to a pulp. We should, timing and rhythm is everything. Them boys is in rhythm now. Plug Jimmy in, let him get his timing back. We got our foot on their necks. Let's take this game.
I completely
that's all
agree.
I got.
There
man
you go.
Completely
Jay, I apologize.
Agree.
I keep saying, I think that's thanks, the second or third time. Yeah, I said, what's up, man? It's a woman. Put female on there, please. I don't meet many Jay who are women, but she's a great caller. We love
wow,
Jay.
And
relax, Chris Rock, or just relax. You don't want to play with fire. I hear you. And maybe it's, I'm just throwing it out there. You're more inclined or less inclined to play Jimmy Butler after what took place on Saturday. Let him rest up a little bit more and maybe go up 3-1. But I hear you. You feel a lot better with Jimmy Buckets in the lineup tonight. But I don't know what the medical says. I lean on the doctors. Dr. Rick Celebrini, best in the business. All right. I lean on them.
This is part joke, but I am kind of serious.
Oh.
Steph's so good, I might retire 30, even though it's already retired for the Giants with Cepeda. I might retire at 4 Curry in a Giants uniform and a Niner uniform. That's how good he is.
Just cross sport? Is that happened?
Marino's retired for the Miami Heat.
Oh, is he? I didn't even know that.
Then they unretired it.
Oh, they also... Because
I think Bam Adebayo rocks 13.
Remember when Pat Riley retired Michael Jordan's number? No one will ever... is like, Pat, you didn't coach this guy. Like, what? Like, you didn't play for the Miami Heat. What are we doing here? Very odd. But yeah, that happens, I guess. It happens.
Dylan Brooks was so hell-bent on not letting him get a shot off, and he just had him just like in a blender.
Dylan Brooks,
unreal.
And again, Jay Billis, who's going to be joining us at 8:30. I thought he was really good on this broadcast for ESPN. Can't wait to pick his brain about what he saw from Stephen Curry. But even Jay was like Dylan Brooks is playing great defense on him, and it
amazing
still doesn't matter.
Defense.
Like that's the thing in this. The Rockets, who are probably the best defensive team left in these playoffs, I think they're up there. Like they're hounding them.
No,
they're
very good
so damn good, but it's still not enough when it's Stephen Curry, and they're making him work harder. And credit to them, but again, it was the Rockets who failed to score 100, not the Warriors on Saturday, and that was because Stephen Curry is on their team. And he's not on the Rockets. They got their best players, Alperen Şengün. It was noticeable on Saturday. He didn't have a good game. and they lost because of it. Let's go to the injury report. And we do have a broken clock in here. It's been 3:58:30 a.m. the entire show. Man, time. Is it Stephen Curry? Can he stop time? Is that what he's doing right now? Steph is so amazing. He can stop time. Do you believe, well, the Warriors believe, that Jimmy Butler will be back on the court for the Warriors in game four tonight? Butler has been recovering from a deep glute muscle contusion that he sustained in game two. He worked out on the Warriors practice court before game three, but the Warriors medical team decided it was best for him to get an extra 2 days to rest and recover before returning action. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California, California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More of your calls, Samita and Los Gatos. We'll get to you on the other side. Plus, Jay Bill is coming up at 8:30, called the game for ESPN alongside Mark Jones. So we'll get his thoughts on that and how the series goes going forward. Warriors could put a chokehold on it tonight. Coverage of that starts at 6 o'clock at Warriors Live, 7 o'clock tip right here on 95.7 The Game. It's Spadoni, Chasky, we're rolling, baby. Halfway home on a Monday at 95.7 The Game.